Well, if you happen to have a Bible nearby, why don't you go ahead and open it up to the book of Matthew, and today we're going to be in chapter 5. Some years ago, I was meeting with an individual, and we were discussing kind of just life. Now, if you looked at this person, you would have looked at them and just gone, man, they're living the good life. They had a very caring spouse. They had children whom they had a great relationship with. They had lots of close friends. They were very successful in their career, which afforded them a very comfortable life. They were talking about an early retirement that was going to be filled with travel and leisure. Most of us would look at this individual and we would go, man, they are living the dream. I mean, a lot of people would have been envious of this individual. And yet there they shared with me that while they had pretty much everything they had ever hoped for, internally, they lacked a sense of peace. They told me that although they had everything, they still just couldn't seem to be happy. You know, as I was sitting there and I was listening, the thought that first occurred to me was, this isn't anything new. Matter of fact, we commonly hear of individuals, maybe even we ourselves have struggled with this, who from the outside appear to have everything, yet continue to struggle with finding a sense of peace in their life. Now, I fully understand that mental health plays a significant role in how we perceive and how we engage our world. But outside of a medical condition, we still find people struggling to find peace, contentment, or happiness. Which makes me wonder this. Why? Why is it that we can chase after and even achieve all the things that we're told will make us happy, all the things that we're told will fulfill us in life, and yet we can find that we don't actually have any more peace internally than we did beforehand? I wonder if in the midst of our pursuits of chasing after luxuries and positions and wealth and authority, I wonder if we ever question if what we might be searching for to fulfill us, we're searching in the wrong places. What if what truly leads to peace, we could say it this way, what leads to the blessed life is completely different than what we've been taught or what we've believed? Well, we're going to try to answer some of that today and in the weeks ahead. Now, kicking off today, we are launching a new series in which we've entitled A World Upside Down. And really, over the course of this summer, we're going to be exploring what leads to a blessed life, right? Where do we find fulfillment and internal peace? Now, to do that, we're going to be spending the entire summer really working through one sermon, the greatest sermon ever given. No, it's not one of mine. It's not even Billy Graham's. It's what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. It's found in Matthew's Gospel in chapters 5, 6, and 7, and then summarized in Luke chapter 6. And in this message, Jesus shares what might be the most encompassing and challenging message ever given, addressing all areas of life from social status to finances to marriage to how we handle disagreements to one's faith to the words that we speak, to how our emotions influence us, to the promises that we make, to our sexuality, to the love we express, to the things that we own, to both the worries and the dreams that live within us, to the promise of the life after this one. I'm sure you can see just by naming those things, just really how encompassing the Sermon on the Mount is. And it's challenging because through this, Jesus challenges his followers to see their world in a whole new way. Really, we could say it this way, to engage in a new way of living. And ultimately, to discover where true internal peace comes from, so we can live the blessed life. So to begin, again, if you have a Bible, why don't you join me in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse number 1. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed. Now, I want to pause here for right now. And I know that might seem a little strange to pause just one word into verse number 3 here. There's this desire within us, right? We want to know, well, hang on, who or what is blessed? And what are these blessings? And how do we get them? I understand that tension. But before we can go on, we really need to stop and ask a question. And that question is this: what does it mean to be blessed? You know, for many people, being blessed, the idea of living a blessed life, means having the things that make life more comfortable. You know, really, again, if we think back to that conversation I had with that individual some years ago, that's what they were expressing, that they had all these things. We think that that's what blessing is. Author Kate Bowler cites a Pew Research Center poll in her book, Blessed, A History of the American Prosperity Gospel. And in that Pew Research Center poll, they find that of Christians polled, 43% said that to be blessed meant to have good health and wealth. Health, luxuries, comfort. And really, we could say it this way, living the American dream. I mean, it sure sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, it sounds like that's what being blessed really would be all about. Which makes sense, because those are the things we chase after, right? We chase after the comforts. We chase after the luxuries. We chase after good health. But interesting enough, while we might think that's what it means to be blessed, that's not what Jesus says it means to be blessed. Now, if you were to look up in a Greek lexicon, the word that we translate blessed here in Matthew's gospel, it's the word martyrios. And literally, it means being fortunate or happy because of circumstances. And in scripture, it's translated as fortunate, happy, privileged, and blessed. So it appears that from Matthew 5, that there's something taking place that leads Jesus to call the people blessed, right? To say that they're fortunate, that they're privileged. Now, if you've ever read the Sermon on the Mount before, you know that some of the situations that Jesus is going to describe, that Jesus is going to speak on, well, they seem like just the opposite of being fortunate or privileged or blessed, right? Jesus talks about things like weeping, like suffering for one's faith. You know, we hear that, and we hear that in connection with blessed, and we're tempted to kind of stop and ask, like, Jesus, do you know what it means to be blessed? Because this doesn't sound like blessing, weeping, suffering for one's faith. That doesn't sound like what it means to have privilege or to be fortunate. Well, I'll assure you of this. Jesus knows exactly what it means to be blessed. We don't have to worry about that. And the reason that Jesus can call those blessed who engage in really these challenging situations is actually because of something that Matthew has already told us. We could say this way, that the key to understanding the Sermon on the Mount is really found in the very beginning of the story that's really easy to miss. So let me read it to you again, where it says, his disciples came to him and he opened his mouth and taught them. Now, I'll be honest. I cannot even tell you how many times I have read the Sermon on the Mount. Dozens and dozens of times. And yet, for the longest time, I miss this. In my mind, I always imagine Jesus, right? We had this idea of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. So he's on some sort of hill. He's speaking loudly. There's this crowd of people there, and he's giving this sermon. But that's not completely accurate. Listen to what scholar David Turner writes in his commentary on the book of Matthew. He says, Jesus evidently retires to the mountainside to teach his disciples more privately. But it is doubtful that the crowd is entirely absent from this discourse. More likely, the disciples as the inner circle closely listen to Jesus while a throng of people gathers around the periphery of the scene and exhibits varied levels of interest and comprehension. So while others are likely overhearing this conversation, right, this sermon that Jesus is giving, we have to keep in mind that his words were being directed to his disciples. See, understanding this, it really is not only the key for understanding the Sermon on the Mount, of making sense of it, but it reveals to us what it means to be blessed. The blessed that Jesus is speaking of, they aren't blessed because they have everything they want. It's not because they always feel good, and it isn't because they never go through hardships or face challenges. The reason that they're blessed is because they're disciples of Jesus. They're blessed because they know Jesus. You know, all the challenging things that will follow in Jesus's message here at the Sermon on the Mount, really, it's filtered through this relationship that the disciples have with Jesus. Listen to what German theologian and pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote in his book, Discipleship. He said, Jesus calls his disciples blessed. The disciples are blessed because of Jesus' call that they followed. The entire people of God is blessed because of the promise which pertains to them. You know, the Sermon on the Mount, it doesn't really make sense to the natural person. As we're going to see over the next several weeks, what Jesus is teaching, I mean, at times it actually seems like the exact opposite of what would lead to peace and fulfillment. Yet it does. In some supernatural way, it does because the blessed are connected to Jesus. In an article entitled, What Does It Mean to Be Blessed? Dr. William Osborne states, he says that divine blessing in the Bible is always physical and spiritual because it is fixed upon the reality of the fullness of life in the presence of God. You know, biblical blessing, it's not about living in complete comfort, and it's not about obtaining things, right? It's not about wealth and possessions. It's not even about avoiding hardships. Biblical blessing is this. It is being connected to Jesus. It's living a life in the presence of God. You know, sometimes I think about the disciples and I get a little envious of them because, and speak the original, the first 12 disciples, because they got to literally walk with Jesus, right? They got to share meals with Jesus. They got to minister beside Jesus every single day. They had the privilege of seeing characteristics of Jesus that we have yet to see, right? They got to experience Jesus's sense of humor. Again, we haven't been able to see that yet. But at the same time, while we can, for at least for myself, kind of be envious of the privileges that they had, do we ever stop and consider this, that the disciples were homeless with Jesus? The disciples were financially broke. The disciples incurred mockery and ridicule. They were at times rebuked sharply by Jesus. And outside of Judas, who betrays Jesus, and John, who God protected, the other 10 were all murdered for their faith. You know, I guess I won't speak for you, but I'll speak for myself. If I was broke, homeless, marginalized, and sentenced to death for a crime I didn't commit, I might tend to feel a little cursed. I mean, wouldn't we be like, right, what is wrong? Why is this happening? We might begin to think that we're cursed. Yet Jesus called them blessed. Jesus called them blessed. Blessed not because they were on Easy Street, but blessed because they knew Jesus. What does it mean to be blessed? It means to know Jesus. It means to live a life fully in the presence of God. If you want the blessed life, you need Jesus. Which leads me to ask this question. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? If you know Jesus, if you have a relationship with Him in which you have been forgiven of your sins because of the cross, because Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins, if you know that your sins are forgiven, you know the hope of the promise of eternal life with God, if God has put His Spirit inside of you and He's guiding and shaping and leading your life, then the answer to am I blessed is yes, we are blessed. We are blessed because God knows us and we have the privilege to know Him. He has given us the grace so that we can know Him. Now, stop and consider that for a moment. Consider the blessing that is of knowing Jesus. Now, imagine this. Imagine what our lives could look like if we engaged every day, every situation, mindful of the blessing of knowing Jesus. Would it change how we engage or respond to setbacks? Would it change how we respond to challenges or even to painful situations? I'm not saying that we wouldn't feel heartache. I'm not saying that we wouldn't at times feel overwhelmed by difficulties. I know that we will and we would. But when we see ourselves as blessed, well, what happens is we can face those challenges with hope, with courage, and with a sense of peace. A sense of peace knowing that we already have everything that we need. What we're going to see in the Sermon on the Mount as we work through it over the next several weeks is really, the challenges of it are really impossible to engage. They are. unless one comes to them from the posture of being blessed, of knowing Jesus. Not only does that influence, right, how we engage challenges and how we engage the things that are bigger than us, but I think it does this as well. It also influences what we do when we have excess, meaning this, that when we find ourselves in seasons of life where we have the comforts, where we have that influence, where we have extra resources, what we find is that when we understand that we're blessed not because of those things, but we're blessed because we know Jesus, well, then we don't need to cling to those things. We don't have to hoard them. We don't have to say, no, these are mine because this is what it means for me to be blessed. Actually, just the opposite happens. We see that we're blessed because we know Jesus. We're blessed because of the promise of eternal life that we have with God. And these things, these comforts, these resources, well, we're now free to share them with others. We're now free to live generously and to help those who need help. We live differently because we found that true happiness, true peace, it isn't found in the things of this world. It's found in knowing Jesus. When considering this, the scholar James Boyce writes in his commentary on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, when Jesus spoke these words, he was telling his listeners how they could be deeply, spiritually, and profoundly happy, and how they could maintain this happiness even in the midst of life's disappointments and hard times. We must realize, however, that if we are to find this happiness, we must not look for it in the world's ways. We must look for it in the way outlined by Jesus. You know, the world's gonna tell us that if we want to be happy, if we wanna be fulfilled, that we gotta chase that next thing, right? Get the next degree, the next promotion, the next dollar, the bigger, the better, the shinier, the new relationship. Then we'll be fulfilled. But those who are truly blessed, they know that those aren't the things that lead to fulfillment. Only a relationship with Jesus can do that. And when we have Jesus, what happens is we're free to let those other things go. We don't have to have that newest, best, better, brighter, shinier thing, because we have what's truly valuable, and that is God. So let me encourage you today that if you're struggling to find peace or fulfillment, contentment in your heart, that it might be time to look elsewhere. If we really want to live the blessed life, well, we need to look in the same place that the disciples looked, and that is at the feet of Jesus. Now, I know that there's so much more that we could talk about the blessed life today, and we're going to be doing that over the course of the next several weeks as we move through the Sermon on the Mount. But for today, we're going to stop here, and next week, we'll begin to unpack really what this blessed life looks like. And as we close, my prayer for you is this. It's that you will be blessed. Not because you or I, because we have luxuries or because we have good luck, but we will be blessed because we know Jesus, and that our lives will flow from a relationship with Him. Let me pray for us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we were able to be together, to hear your word, to worship and to pray on this online service. Father, we thank you. We thank you for sending Jesus, for blessing us with your Son who died in our place so that our sins could be forgiven and our relationship with you restored. We thank you, Father, for sending the Holy Spirit Thank you for blessing us with your presence, for guiding and shaping our lives. Help us, Lord, to clearly hear from you. Give us the courage to live in submission to you when you lead us down challenging paths. Lord, as we engage this new series, I ask that you would open our eyes to this new way of living. Help us to not just be hearers of the word, but as James says, to be doers. Help us to surrender our selfish desires and to embrace this new life that you have for us. And as we do, Lord, we give you the glory, as it is you who are making what would be impossible possible. Lord Jesus, I pray for those who are struggling to find peace in their hearts. I ask that you would reveal yourself and that you would lead all of us to a place of surrender, and that you would help us to rightfully see that being blessed, it isn't about having the comforts of this world, but the blessing of heaven, which is you. Jesus, continue to guide us. We thank you for your love and your grace, and may our lives bring glory and honor to you. And we pray this in your holy name. Amen.